I'll share with you, I'm not surprised at all by the way I sense already the Holy Spirit moving in us and the way he's moved upon Pastor Chris to say some of the things in between the songs that he said. I know he never has any idea of what I'm going to be preaching on. It used to be I didn't know what they were going to be singing, and I still don't look at it by intention, but if I wanted to, I could go out there on the internet and see it, and I don't do that intentionally because I just want the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart, and I want him to speak to their hearts, which he does, and I just never want to get man involved too much in orchestrating anything God wants to do. I'm afraid I might be influenced in my human flesh if I knew exactly what they were going to be singing to think, well, this would go along good with that, and it might well, but maybe it wouldn't be ordered to the Lord. And I want to hear from God, and everything that Pastor Chris has sung, the praise team has sung this morning, even the statements he has made in between the songs talking about God changing us, has so confirmed to me that I'm almost certain I have the mind of God this morning for what he once brought forth. And I know he's fought to keep this message from being preached today. I mean, when the Lord gives you a message, you know, you can certainly preach it one place or another time, and he'll bless it numerous times. But this message, I've never preached it anywhere before, but I have sensed the enemy coming against it on this particular day. I mean, it's really a message that is applicable to all of us, but I'm sharing this with you to prepare you for what I believe God's going to do. I didn't think I was going to be able to be here today. I've got to go help my mom move back into her home right after service, and we had all kind of issues with the U-Haul and everything yesterday and getting the logistics of it worked out, and she's got to get out of there today, and I just thought, I was just so frustrated that I finally called Mahari yesterday afternoon and asked him. I said, Mahari, can you take service in the morning? I told him the situation. I said, there's just no way I believe I'm going to be able to make it, and we've got to get Mom out of that nursing or out of the extended care facility tomorrow. And I kept praying because I felt the Lord had laid this message on my heart. And then about an hour later, out of the blue, the U-Haul place called me back, and that was the trouble we were having, was getting that worked out. And they said, we found a truck, and we found a time. You can pick it up tomorrow. And it worked out great, and I called Mahari back, and I said, Mahari, I appreciate you, buddy, but I'm not going to need you. I said, I'm going to be able to be there tomorrow. And I really believe that the Lord wants this message preached today, and it's for all of us. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and just to prepare you a little bit further, today is really going to be more of a teaching type message than it is going to be a preaching, but I believe that's what the Lord wants. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. The great apostle Paul, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, writes, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the renewed mind. The renewed mind. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I come knowing, Lord, how incapable I am unless your precious Holy Spirit anoints me to minister your word in an effective way to your people. And Lord, I humbly ask this morning for that precious anointing to flow. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would prepare all of our hearts and open our hearts afresh and anew to the mighty moving and operation of the Holy Spirit to effect changes in us, Lord, that we so need to have happen. But yet, Lord, we are so helpless in and of ourselves to make them happen. Only you can do it, Lord. Teach us that truth today, Lord. I ask the Holy Spirit to come today and do his mighty office work and to renew our minds in Jesus' name and teach us how not only to renew them but to keep them renewed in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And I sense a mighty move of your Holy Spirit right now. And I praise you for that already. I sense him falling on hearts and lives. And I sense you moving in my heart and life right now, Lord Jesus. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do in us and through us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In 1970, then-President Richard Nixon made an unprecedented trip to China to meet with the chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, Mao Zedong. Nixon went to try to open up trade with China and dialogue with China that had been inhibited for so many years between the United States and that vast nation. They went to the Great Wall of China as the news cameras watched and filmed Nixon and Mao Zedong walking along that historic wall to hammer out an agreement for free trade, which ultimately came. But it was Nixon who had requested that they hold their talks on the Great Wall of China, which is some 18 feet thick and some 30 feet high and runs for over 3,900 miles across the border of China. Nixon said he wanted to hold that meeting on the wall, and he wanted the world to see them meeting on that wall because of its symbolism, because he said it stood as such a powerful fortress of what a nation can do when they come, or when a nation, what people can do when they come together in cooperation. And I started doing some study on the Great Wall of China. And I've given you some of its dimensions, but it was built in the 5th century BC by the Chinese emperors for the sole reason of protecting China from invading armies. And there's really still today, as far as a natural man-made fortress, nothing like it in the world. And the Chinese emperors were seeking to build this fortress to protect China from invading armies and build it in such a way that it would be impregnable and impenetrable, that nobody would be able to invade the country. And for thousands of years, it stood doing its job. But oddly enough, as powerful and as symbolic as this Great Wall of China is, in the 7th century BC, armies broke through it. And you say, how? It's 18 feet thick of concrete and rock and mortar. Think of that. 18 feet thick, 30 feet high, 3,900 miles approximately long, along the border of China. How could anybody get through that? Strangely enough, they built gates at certain places in the Great Wall of China, very large gates, that required Chinese guards to stand on guard at the gates. And the invading armies of the Huns in the 7th century, you know how they penetrated the Great Wall of China? They bribed the Chinese guards to open the gates for them. Now think of that. As vast and as mighty as this man-made structure was, it was so easy to get through when the right technique was employed. And I thought about that, and I thought, that's a good picture. That's a perfect illustration of mankind trying to achieve his own spiritual good. A lot of times the things mankind constructs look so good. They look like they would work. But if it's man-made, as far as it pertains to our spirituality and our growth and our lives being changed, all man-made efforts are ultimately going to fail. All man-made efforts are somehow, some way, ultimately going to fail. No matter how good, no matter how impenetrable, no matter how foolproof they may appear to be, if it's man-made, If it's man-made, somehow it's ultimately going to fail. I read another statistic as I was preparing for this message this week that staggered me. Found it in the American Psychological Association magazine, just surfing the net. In the last 3 years, over the last 3 years, over 50% of Americans have taken or are taking some type of antidepressant or anti-anxiety drug. Now think of that, 50%. That's staggering. That's staggering. It shows you the world in which we're living and the stress that living in the world can bring upon people. It's sad to think that even believers sometimes turn to the world first for their help. And I'm not pleased. In this message today, the Lord gave me instructions. He said, you preach this very lovingly. You preach it very gently today. Because I want my people helped. I don't want them condemned. And hence, that's the way I want to please the Lord. But it's sad that brothers and sisters in Christ would turn to the mechanisms of the world to try to affect what only God can change. You see, depression and anxiety are the results of a spiritual problem, not a physical problem. That's why, as well-meaning as they may be, a psychologist or a medical doctor is really ill-equipped to effectively treat those conditions. But mankind has some pretty fine-sounding mechanisms in place to try to overcome these things. They tell you, you know, take these pills, and they'll help you out. And really, all those pills are doing, they're numbing the sensors in your body just so you don't feel things. That doesn't make anything go away. And hence, after so long, that's why they have to increase the dosage on it. Because it stops working after a while. See, there's the hook. At first, it seems and appears to be working just fine. Oh, I'm feeling so much better. Oh, I've never felt better. Yeah, I'm not depressed anymore. I'm not anxious anymore. But after a while, because it's a man-made effort to treat and cure that which only God can treat through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the only solution they got then is here, take a greater dosage. Or here, take this pill with that pill. Do you know what anxiety is in its purest form? It's worry over uncertainty in the future. Any form of anxiety, it is a worry and a fear over something that may or may not even happen in the future. That's anxiety in its purest form. That's what it literally means and does. And how many Christians are suffering from anxiety? And I lay this on the fault of the pulpit because they have not been taught how to go to God to get the healing in their spirit they so desperately need. And because they're not getting, and I don't fault them for this, they're not getting the antidote from their pastors in the churches. As a matter of fact, many pastors tell them, oh, you need counseling, you need pills to make this go away. And that is one of the worst things you could tell a person. It's exactly a spiritual Great Wall of China, is the point I'm trying to make. That for a time it may hold up, but it's man-made. So therefore, ultimately, it's going to fail. Because man cannot treat the condition of the human spirit. God alone holds supreme and sole authority and ability to heal the human soul and spirit. And anxiety and depression are spiritual problems. Hence, only God can heal them. Only God can heal them. Please hear what I'm saying this morning. I don't know. I know one time before I preached a message like this. And on Monday morning, hell camped on my doorstep. And I am not preaching this to condemn anybody. I know most of you really well in this church. We're a small body. But still, I don't know your personal life. I don't know what's going on really with all of you. I see most of you maybe once, twice a week, and if we go out to dinner, maybe one more time. And I'm not condemning you. The Lord Hallelujah. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk according to the Spirit and not after the flesh. I'm not here to condemn. There might be half of you all on some kind of anxiety pills or antidepressant pills this morning. Maybe your situation just got to be too much, and you tried to put your faith in the cross, and in human weakness and frailty, you thought, I need instant help. I'm going to go get something that's going to help me. Hear this preacher this morning. I'm not condemning you, but the Lord has given me implicit instructions today to come and tell you that He is able to help you, that if you'll do it His way, and I'm going to try my best to expound it simply and clearly today. The message of God to you today is that if you'll allow Him, the only one who is able and has the authority and ability to treat your spirit, He will do it, because He's a God of grace and mercy toward you, His child. He's not here to condemn you. He sent His Holy Spirit to help us out, hallelujah, and to treat, if you will, our spirits. And any effort to do it any other way is man-made. Let me say it better than that. Any effort to overcome a spiritual malady or problem outside of faith in the cross of Christ is doomed to failure. Even though for a time it may seem effective, don't be lured in by that. It may be effective for a time, but those pills are going to wear off and you're going to need more. And the doctor, in his effort to want to help you out, is going to offer a different kind. I'm not even condemning the doctors. They're doing all they know to do. But they don't know how to help mankind out in a spiritual problem. Many don't. Not all of them, but most. The best they can do is give you a pill. But God wants you to know this morning, He's got something that's better than a pill. He has the might and power of His Holy Spirit that was used to frame the worlds, hallelujah. And if He can speak and frame the worlds, He can certainly help you out. He can calm your fear about the anxiety of the future. Because in His word, He tells what the future is if you keep your faith in Him, hallelujah. And He may at times call us to go through a difficult period of time. I'm not telling you that either. But I'm telling you this, if you keep your faith in Him, there'll be a power there that will enable you to stand up against the very gates of hell themselves. Praise God. That's the power of the cross, church. That's the power of the cross. That day on Golgotha's hill, it was the greatest revelation of God's love and power this world will ever see. And I don't back down from sin. You say, but Pastor, what about the return of Christ? That'll be glorious. That'll be wonderful. Pastor, what about Jesus establishing His kingdom on this earth and us ruling and reigning with Him for 1,000 years? That's glorious. That'll be wonderful. But nothing will ever compare to the power and love of God that was revealed on the top of Golgotha's hill when Jesus said, "It is finished." Hallelujah. Nothing. Nothing will ever compare to that act of love and power inextricably bound together in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. In this great book of Romans, verses 1 through 3, Paul, as the Holy Spirit is moving on him, convicts the world of sin. In chapters 4 and 5, he takes on an even harder job. He has to convince the Jews of sin, because they thought, because the gospel came, or God gave them the law, that they were something special. They had something over other races. And Paul hammers away at that thinking. And then in chapter 6, 7, and 8, he opens up the application of what Christ won for us on the cross. And then finally here in chapter 12, he begins to give the mechanics of how to live in that victory and how to let the Holy Spirit work on our spirits to change us, to transform us. This Bible says that God, if we'll believe Him, He'll take us from grace to grace, from glory to glory. What does that mean? That means whatever measure of grace you're walking in right now, he's got eons more for you to take you to if you'll let him. Hallelujah. What does it mean from glory to glory? It means the glory that fills your soul now when you have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done, is nothing compared to where he'll take you to. It'll be a continual flow of God's power and God's love that will transform us into something we could never be using human devices, that will transform us away from something that will actually destroy us to the power and love and grace of God, which will transform us. Hallelujah. And that's why he begins giving the formula, if you will, here in Romans 12. And I hesitate to use the word formula because it's so often thrown around in religious circles, but as I was preparing the message, I believe the Lord gave me this thought. It's okay to use the word formula because you're using my formula, and my formula is the only one that will work. So we look here in Romans 12. The first thing we're told, the great apostle says, I beseech you. Now, I don't know if you have a King James Bible or not, but in mine, those words are capitalized. Beseech. It's capitalized. I don't know which one. Has anybody else got it capitalized in their Bible? Nellie's got the same one. Are you on page 1559 with me, Nellie? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just putting you on. But if you've got a good Bible, no, I'm just kidding. But it's beseeched. But that word in the Greek carries such heavy connotation with it. It's the modern day equivalent of somebody that would go out here and stand in the middle of the road and just want to yell to stop somebody or to get their attention. That's how important what the Holy Spirit is about to reveal through the apostles' writing here. It's that important. He's saying, I need to get the Holy Spirit is saying to us, in other words. Let me put it this way. The Holy Spirit is stepping out. The Holy Spirit. Do you get who's talking to us here? The Holy Spirit is stepping out onto our highway and going, whoa, I need your attention on this. The Holy Spirit of God. And incidentally, the signs along the highway, they don't do you any good at all unless you obey them. You know, you can have all kinds of signs along the highway, but they will do you absolutely no good whatsoever if you don't obey them. I remember right after I first got my driver's license. Thank God Mom ain't here this morning. No. In Texas is where I got my driver's license. And they had these advisory speed limits, they called them. I like that as a 16-year-old. An advisory speed limit. That's good, ain't it? Because what that meant to my mind as a 16-year-old, it's just an advisory. Go as fast as you want. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe y'all don't think like I think. Praise God you don't. But I thought advisory sign. Tara's laughing. Tara, you better listen to what I'm saying this morning. And there was this one exit, and it was one of these sharp hairpin exits that I always had to take on the way home from football games. And it was on a Friday night, and we just finished playing a football game, and we'd won. We were all hyped up. A bunch of us were in my 1970 Ford, red Ford Maverick. Bodies piled into it everywhere. I mean, this was in the days before they passed laws that made some sense, and you could only have so many in a car. I think we had 8 kids in that Maverick. I mean, there was people everywhere. And we were in a hurry to get, a lot of us were football players, we were in a hurry to get from the football game over to the McDonald's where everybody hung out. And, you know, and there I was ready to hit that ramp again, and I'd always done this. It had 25 miles per hour advisory. You know, it was an advisory, the advisory speed limit sign. I was in a hurry to get to McDonald's that night. And I hit that thing at about 45 miles an hour. And I got a real lesson that night. I later heard a driving instructor say this. I wish I'd heard him say it before this. But I thought, that's just advisory. I can go as fast as I want. And I could. And I hit that thing at about 45 miles an hour. And Dennis, I'm sure you know this. at a hairpin turn like that, the reason they're advising you at 25 miles an hour is if you go much faster than that on that turn, even though you're turning your wheels due to the curvature of the road, your car won't turn. You just keep going straight. And I hit that thing at about 45 miles an hour, and make a long story short, we wound up in the ditch. Like to kill the salts, wonder I did. But that sign was there to advise me. I chose not to obey it, and I did so at my own peril. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying here to us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you. I beseech you. This is a warning. This is something I want to get your attention on. Pay attention to what's about to be said. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now here he's writing to people who know Jesus Christ. Because he said, I'm beseeching you. I'm wanting to get your attention by the mercies of God. In other words, he's saying, think of how gracious and how merciful and how wonderful the God you have given your life over to is. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God doesn't ask very much of us. Really, think of your salvation for a moment. Years ago, I heard Brother Swaggart sing a song. It's a beautiful song. It's called, I Got the Best of the Trade. We gave him sin. He gave us cleansing. We gave him all of our issues. He gave us the Holy Ghost. When we exhibited faith in what he did for us on the cross, we gave him our lives of death. He gave us the breath of life. What a deal. What a deal. And that's what Paul is reminding the believers of here. I want, and the Holy Spirit, I want your attention by the mercies of God. In other words, here's what God requires of you. If you want to walk in victory, if you want to walk free from having anxiety and depression and all of these spiritual problems, if you want to walk in freedom and in newness of life from this, I'm beseeching you by the mercies of God. Here's how you do it. Number one, present your body a living sacrifice. Now that sounds so simple and so glorious, and yet it is so hard for a human being to do because we're so full of pride. We want to do it ourselves. And the context here, present, means all you can do is come to the cross of Christ and say, Lord, I'm helpless. Will you help me? I give you, I surrender everything to you. I surrender all of my faults and flaws. I surrender my sin. I surrender my victories. I surrender my accomplishments. Everything I am, Lord, I present it to you. He said, present your bodies. That word in Greek means everything we are, basically. Everything we are. You come and you present it unto him as a living sacrifice. Now that's something, ain't it? A living sacrifice. How can a sacrifice be alive? He's reverting back to his writings in the glorious chapter 6, where he said, if we're in Christ Jesus, we are buried in him, and we're raised in him in newness of life. Hallelujah. That when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, that in the mind of Almighty God, in his grace and mercy, he counted us as having gone to that cross. Now think of that. In the mind of God, because of our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did there, God counts us then as having gone and become a sacrifice on that cross. Think of that for a moment. But then the Bible goes on in Romans 6 to tell us, if we're buried with him in death, we'll be raised with him in newness of life. Praise God. We're made alive after the sacrifice. It's a direct reference to Paul, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, telling us, live at the foot of the cross. Live with your faith in Christ and what he did on the cross. Because then you're presenting your body as a living sacrifice. In the mind of God, you were counted as a sacrifice. But also in the mind of God, hallelujah, because he raised Jesus from the dead, you're raised in newness of life to walk not by the letter of the law, but to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus, hallelujah. And he makes all things new, the Bible says. He makes all things new. He gives you a new spirit. He gives you a new way of thinking. If you'll keep your faith and trust in him, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God. How is it holy and acceptable? Because once we put our faith in Christ and God counts us as having been crucified with him and raised again with him, when God sees us, hallelujah, this is glorious, he sees Jesus. Wow! Wow! That's almost too glorious for my mind to get around, but it's what the Bible teaches, that God no longer sees the old sinful man, but he sees a new powerful creation raised up in him through the efficacy of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, that's your reasonable service. In other words, that's really all I require of you. If you want me to work effectively in your life, to transform it, to change it, to give you a new life, I will require this of you, that you present yourself wholly to me. Wholly, without reservation, completely surrender your life to me. And he said, I'll make you holy. Then I'll make you acceptable. And he said, this is your reasonable service. That's step one. And that's why mankind has such a problem, and most of the church has such a problem, appropriating the power of God. Because they don't want to take this step. Because of pride. They want to build their own thing. Because if mankind can build his own thing, he can hold it up as his success. The longer I've walked with the Lord, the more I have learned that my faith shines brighter in my failures than it does in any success I might have. Why is that? Because the successes all belong to him. Whatever success there is, whatever he gives, that belongs to him. The failure is always on our part. And when I failed him so many times, I've had to go to him. And I've had to follow this process that's found here in Romans 12 and come back to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I got off center there. You see, if you refuse to present yourself as a living sacrifice unto him, you cannot obtain his power. Because what's going to happen, you're either going to sell out wholly to him, or you'll try to half have God help you out and half do it in human strength. And he will not honor that kind of effort. It will bring no help at all. But that's really all he wants, is us to present ourselves unto him and trust him to achieve things in us by the power of his Holy Spirit that we can never change. He starts off now in verse 2. And he says, be ye not conformed. Be ye not conformed to this world. What does that mean? That means as a believer in Christ, with your faith being exclusively in what he did for you at the cross, you operate under a totally different system than the world operates under. And that is such a problem in the church today, the church trying to operate in a worldly system to bring about the effectual working of God's power in human life, and it won't work. It will not work that way. No matter how sincere an individual may be, and I believe many are, in formulating all these plans and programs that you've heard, I know you've heard endless diatribes on from me over the years. I believe they're sincere as they can be. But sincerity does not put you in line with God's system. And that's the deception that Satan uses so many times. Well, they seem so sincere. Last night I was watching it again. They had a replay of that Joel Osteen, Pierce Morgan show I told you about a month ago. Anybody see that? Austin did. He was watching it with me. And I thought, this poor guy, he's got no answer for anybody. Every question Pierce asked him, well, I just don't know. I just don't comment on stuff like that. I don't think this is best. But I don't think I brought this out the last time. Pierce really cornered him. He was talking about the death penalty, you know, And Pierce said, you know, it came out that it was the law of the land in many states that, you know, there was no death penalty. And then he was asked, Joel said, well, I'll abide by it because it's the law of the land. But then he got him on abortion and homosexuality. He said, abortion is legal. Do you agree with that? Well, I just don't know. I just don't want to comment on stuff like that. People have to live their lives, and I'm just going to try to obey the law of the land. I'm just like, dear God. I thought, how can everybody go chasing after this guy? And he's got a new book out. What was the name of that book, Austin, he just wrote? I forget, too. It was another one of his. But it's just another effort outside of the cross to change somebody's life. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. But that's why the Word is telling us, don't do it the world's way. If you try to order your life and your world to see your life changed and transformed, if you go after the world's way of doing it, it ain't going to happen. Be ye not conformed. Don't do it like the world does it. The Lord wants somebody to know this morning, and I'll say it again, He's got something greater for you than a pill. He's got something greater for you than a bottle or anything this world or any program this world has to offer. I love how Brother Donnie Swaggart says it. God doesn't have a 10-step program. He's got a 1-step program. You come and present yourself to the cross of Christ, and your life will change if you keep living there. You can't stay the same in the presence of Almighty God as the Holy Spirit Himself fills the human heart and soul. Your life will change, hallelujah, with no effort on our own, glory to God. And God's the only one who's authorized and has the ability to treat the human spirit. So first thing, present yourselves wholly and completely unto Him. Secondly, this is where Satan has the church so off track. We'll present ourselves to Him. Get that right. And then turn right around and go out and try to earn or work through our own victory in our spirit to effect some kind of victory using the world system. I know that's why the Holy Spirit put that in there first. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't try to live and order your life like the world does. You're in a new, when you come to Jesus Christ, your citizenship left the United States of America spiritually, and you became a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, where Jesus is ruler and king. There is no president there. There is a supreme king, Jesus Christ, and He rules and reigns, hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, don't be conformed, but listen to this. He says, be ye transformed. In other words, here, don't do it the world's way. If you want transformation, if you want change, if you want victory, here's how you do it. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, man, how on earth does that happen? You know, I've heard a million things, Sister Nellie, on how to renew your mind. And a lot of them are well-meaning. People sitting down and saying, well, if you memorize enough scripture, that'll renew your mind. Just memorize enough scripture and just keep quoting it anytime you have trouble or fear. And memorizing scripture is a wonderful thing. And being able to quote it when you're in trouble or being able to go back to it when fear comes upon your life or situations come into your life is a wonderful thing. But it will not make the anxiety go away. It will not make the fear go away. Only the Holy Spirit can renew the human mind. What's literally being said here? Lord, help me to explain this right. What's literally being said here is that God Almighty, through the power of His Holy Spirit, we present ourselves a living sacrifice to Him. Don't do it the world's way, but come under His kingdom. He will send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives to make us think like He thinks. Oh, dear God, let that sink deep into your spirit. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross and keep it there, presenting our bodies unto Him, our reasonable service, and staying there, not leaving it, staying there, and we refuse to go the world's way, no matter how pretty and powerful it may look, He sends the Holy Spirit to make us start thinking like he thinks. The Holy Spirit of God will literally plant correct thinking in our spirit. And that correct thinking is how God looks at everything. That's the renewed mind. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. And the Holy Spirit can only and will only operate when we have our faith in Christ and what he did at the cross, trusting in nothing else. That's why people, and I love them, and I know some of you know what I'm talking about. You have loved ones. I've got loved ones that are on all these mind-numbing, mind-altering pills. And they're clinging to them so because some they've never really sat down and given God a chance to do it his way. They're so afraid that if I lose this, I'll lose everything. They don't want to go back to being what they were. They've received a modicum of help. But they're realizing that, well, I just got to take more. I just got to keep going back and keep going this way. And it's killing them. It's literally killing them because there's no help there. When if they would come to God and really trust him, the Holy Spirit would be implanting in their minds all the time. Now, let me give you some anxiety-freeing thoughts, okay? The Holy Spirit will be implanting in their minds all the time. You're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You stand holy and righteous before God. You have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to return for you, and you're going to be a part in his kingdom. This world here is not going to last very long anyway, so it doesn't matter what happens down here. And he's implanting in your mind the eternal thoughts of the God who sits on the throne of the universe. That's freedom. That's power. That's deliverance. Hallelujah. But God will only do it if we present ourselves his way. It's like me trying to, you know, this is the advisory sign. The Holy Spirit saying, hey, I beseech you, here's advice, listen to me. You want freedom from all this? You want your spirit healed? Here's how it's done. But the Holy Spirit will not force us to come God's way, even if we're a believer. There's going to be a lot of believers, I know, when they get to heaven, that got wrapped up in the methods of man in the world. They're going to realize, why on earth didn't I just trust him and do it the way that's so simply and clearly outlined in his word? Why did I not do it that way? He would have given me victory. And I would have saved a ton of money on psychologists and pills and doctors. And medical doctors is good. Please get the context of the message today. I am speaking exclusively of problems with the human soul and spirit. I believe in medical doctors. Please don't get that out of this. And I believe God ordains them and gives them wisdom to treat medical conditions. Even God, in the physical realm of healing, gives those doctors the wisdom. And gives them a mind to be able to understand certain things about the human body. That's good. That's wonderful. But this Bible claims, God claims, exclusive and sole authority to treat the problems of the human spirit. Only he can do it. And that's how he does it. Think of how rather than taking some kind of pill that just numbs you for a while, if you would go to God and have him pour the joy of the Holy Spirit into you and have the Holy Spirit literally plant his thoughts, the thoughts of God. I'm talking about thinking like God. That's the renewed mind. And it has to be renewed because why? If God don't renew it for us, we're going to think of things like humans. How often have I gotten myself in trouble for not allowing the Holy Spirit to renew my mind and looking at situations in my life solely from a human perspective? This isn't automatic. As I start to close, you need to know that. This effectual working of the Holy Spirit to renew a human mind, even in a believer, is not automatic if that believer is not daily presenting himself as the living sacrifice. If there's any element of all of that believer trying to affect his victory, his change, his deliverance, if you will, through any other means from a spiritual problem other than through faith in the cross of Christ, the Holy Spirit will not aid that. He will not aid it. Because for him to do so would be putting his stamp of approval on a man-made effort in an area that God claims sole authority in. That's how your mind's renewed. It's not by memorizing a lot of scriptures. It's not by sitting and, you know, going to Brother Big Buck's conference at the Congolium Cathedral. You know, it's no. It can happen 24/7 as God. Think of, I can't get away from that. The Holy Spirit keeps telling me to press it. The renewing of the mind is the Holy Spirit taking the way God thinks and placing it into a human mind so that human mind can think like God thinks about situations and about problems. Hallelujah. And watch this. This is so good. The mind of God knows that you're healed already. Hallelujah. The mind of God knows you've been delivered. The mind of God knows victory has already come, and he'll tell you that all the time. My Lord, you can't stay down if the Holy Spirit is there in your ear all the time telling you, Sister Nellie, Jesus has got everything under control. He's redeemed you. He bought you with his precious blood. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. It may look bad right now, but you just keep walking with him because he's working in your life, and it's going to be glorious. He's taking you from grace to grace and from glory to glory. Hallelujah! How can you stay down if somebody's telling you something like that all the time? And if that somebody is not somebody in a white coat, but he is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. That's deliverance God's way. Let's read and finish here. Lord, I could preach this all day. That ye may prove, let your mind be renewed, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what is that? Is that God's children walk in peace, love, joy, gentleness, meekness, and newness of life. That's God's will for every human being. That's what he wants. And the good news is it can be achieved, but only God's way. There's the rub with so many. It can only happen God's way. Let me tell you, he'll cure you of loneliness. He'll cure a tormented mind. He's done it. He can do it. And I've preached what I've preached today. One more time, I believe the Holy Spirit is, I don't know, maybe it was for nobody. I don't know. Maybe it's for me to remind me. But the Holy Spirit did tell me this as I was preparing this. He said, you make sure to remind my people today and every day. First thing they do, they present themselves unto me. When their eyes fly open in the morning, I love them. But tell them to allow my renewing power to go to work so on them that every day they wake up, they get that image of, Lord, I present myself to you, a living sacrifice. And that's really all you want out of me, and he'll do the rest. Man, that's a pretty good deal. From my perspective, that's a pretty good deal. And it requires no money. I don't have to make some appointment and ruin my whole day to go sit in some doctor's office for 2 hours and finally have him come in and look me over and me to tell him all of the woes in my life and him to say, here, take this and you'll feel better. And if this don't work, come back 2 weeks and we'll give you another 50 milligrams of it. And I'm not making fun of that. But my Lord, the church so needs, believers so need in this last day, where there is so much turmoil, so much trouble, so much evil in this world that is going to affect us, that if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to renew our minds daily, we're going to become just like the world. Depressed, without direction. I'm talking about being saved, because the Holy Spirit will only work and have as much latitude as we allow him. Now think of that as I'm closing. The only thing that can limit the power of what the Holy Spirit will do is us as human beings not agreeing with God to do it God's way. And when we do that, we have limited the power of the Holy Spirit. We won't limit him as a power of God, but I'm talking about to effectively work in our lives. We've limited him. We've grieved him. It grieves the Holy Spirit when God's children try to renew their mind or to transform their life, outside of him. It grieves him. And he won't aid and assist it if it's outside of the cross of Christ. That's why every day we need to present our bodies that living sacrifice. Every day. If there's one thing, that God, and this is very reasonable, that God's asking of us to walk in such victory and newness of life. And to be, I don't want to say anxiety free because we're humans. None of us have a perfect faith. But I'm saying when that comes upon us, if we'll do it God's way, when fear comes upon us, when trouble comes upon us, when anxiety, worry about the future, and thinking, my God, what am I going to do? That's anxiety. But if we'll present ourselves unto him, he'll come and he'll implant what God, oh, this is so good, the Lord just gave it to me. He will implant specifically what God is thinking specifically about you as an individual at that point in time. Whew, that's good. That came right out of heaven. I ain't smart enough to make something like that up or think that way. God's renewing my mind right in front of you. That's one of his thoughts. He will speak. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. And if we'll present ourselves to him a living sacrifice, when the Holy Spirit comes to renew our mind, he will speak specifically to us about us and what's in the mind of God about us as an individual. Every individual situation is covered there. The Holy Spirit is sufficient to that task. Yes, my sister, it's glorious, ain't it? Hallelujah. Glory, don't you just feel? I do the pleasure and power of the Holy Spirit in the sanctuary today. That's how your mind is renewed, what you've heard today. Go back, because I couldn't do it justice in 45 minutes. It's impossible. Go back, reread Romans 12, 1 and 2. Live in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present yourself daily that living sacrifice. It's good and healthy for the believer to be reminded daily. Lord Jesus, outside of you and your grace and mercy working effectively in my life, I can't do anything. I don't know when to go in. I don't know when to come out. And that humility will so bring about the transforming power of the Holy Spirit and the renewing of our minds that we'll be stupefied by what he'll do. And I know I've got a long ways to go yet, but as I look back, I'm not selling you something that I know don't work. And you know, the Lord finally got me around. He's working with me still. For he's finally given me victory over Haagen-Dazs and pie and cake. I ain't hardly got a thing that fits me anymore. Look at these pants here. Ask Ravonna, I told you Thanksgiving here, I just had three desserts. That was in 2 days' time now. I used to joke and I'd say, I still like them and I'll eat them. But I don't have to eat a whole cake or a whole pie anymore because the Lord's delivered me from that. And he needed to do so. You all see it's happened right before your eyes. That's what the scripture said, isn't it? That's what the scripture said that we read today, so that he may prove. As the world looks at you, they see, why ain't you on antidepressants? You know, how have you lost so much weight? And you'll be able to tell them, because of Jesus Christ renewing my mind and his Holy Spirit working in my life, it changed everything. Praise God. Give him a hand of praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand? And let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask everybody who will this morning, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord? He wants to work on us today. He wants to renew our minds. He wants to further renew our minds, no matter where we are. He wants to take us from grace to grace and from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And if you need to, I know some of you may have leg problems or something, please feel free to sit down on the front row if you need to. That's fine. Here's how the Holy Spirit told me just this morning to direct this altar call. I know that many of you, probably all of you, that have said under this message today, you know and understand the glorious message of the cross. But if you're like me, sometimes you can become so familiar with the things of God as we live out our daily lives that there might be a little bit of contempt that comes up in us toward them. And I'm not talking about something where you deny the cross or something like that. I'm talking about when we forget that we need to present ourselves daily, that living sacrifice. Even though we have the intellectual knowledge of the cross, maybe we're not doing that spiritual thing. We're daily, daily. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily. Let him take up his cross, deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily, deny himself, and then follow me daily. This is something that I pray the Holy Spirit renews all our minds on this morning, where we do it from this point forward every day of our life. I pray it's a life-changing service for us all, to where we'll daily present ourselves when we fly, when our eyes fall open. It don't take long. I'm not talking about going into some 30-minute ordeal. No. It's just allowing the Holy Spirit to remind us to present our bodies afresh and anew every day unto Jesus. And that's our reasonable service. God's happy with us if we get that one thing right. Now, we think we've got to go out and feed millions and all that's good, feeding the hungry. But none of those things will renew our mind. As good as they are, they will not renew our mind. To do that, it's got to be done God's way. And if we cease to do it that way, after so long, we're going to find ourselves in the same state as those who don't believe in the cross. We'll be miserable. We'll be having anxiety attacks. We'll be having fear, inordinate fear, attack us. We'll be having anxiety. Think of that as children of God. Why? Because we have not consciously made the effort to allow the Holy Spirit to daily renew our minds. It's not a one-time thing I'm preaching this morning. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle until we're called home to glory, what I'm preaching this morning. I know we could all hear this message, and the Lord, I believe, to him be all the glory, has helped me to preach it very good. But if we just come down here this morning, have a little emotional experience, say, boy, didn't Pastor preach good this morning? Yeah, that was so true what he said. And forget about it before the dessert comes at Longhorn. Then that's not going to help us any. And we'll start that slow process of drifting away from the cross to where the things that attack and so inhibit the world will come upon us. There's no worry about your future if you're in Christ. But we need to be reminded of that. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does that reminding. It's good to come to church and hear messages like this. That's certainly part of that reminding process. But daily, us as an individual, when our eyes fly open, our first conscious thought, and the Holy Spirit will renew our mind to where this will be done if we'll let him. Our first conscious thought is, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I present myself unto you today as a living sacrifice. That's it. That's your reasonable service. Takes probably 10 seconds or less. But that cognizant thinking and us allowing him to renew our mind that way will keep us in the victory that he's won for us. It'll give us victory. I'm not saying you'll never feel lonely, you'll never feel anxiety. That's going to happen to all of us, but when it comes, you've got the antidote. Hallelujah. And it's not in a pill, it's not in man's system. God will treat your spirit. And when you immediately turn to him, invoking this process that's from his word, and it's his way, he'll immediately, you'll feel the joy start to flow. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. There's been times in my life I failed to do this far too often. And it's left me feeling depressed. It's left me feeling anxiety and worry about what might be or what's coming down the road. And that's terrible. That's so spiritually crippling. And I've been there. But as the Lord is graciously working with me over the years, he's kept working with me to keep on renewing my mind. And I look back to the times where he got me to the point and it came upon me, and I did employ this, and peace and joy and the effectual working power of the Holy Spirit has filled my heart and life immediately, every single time I've employed it. I'm not selling you something this morning that I know won't work. It will work because it's God's system and God's way. So this morning, as we're standing here, let's ask him to do a life-changing work in us today and to renew our minds to where every day for the rest of our lives, we wake up presenting ourselves the living sacrifice unto him. Hallelujah. And maybe this message was for you today. I don't know everybody. Maybe you're on every kind of antidepressant going. I'm not telling you, throw them all out the window. But I'm telling you this. Your problem is a spiritual problem. And your doctor is good and is intelligent with all the medical might he might be providing, all the medical wisdom he may have. I want to ask you a question. Are you still depressed and are you still anxious? And if your answer to that question is yes, then what you're doing isn't working. What he's doing isn't working, is it? I charge you, I challenge you. Do what Romans 12, 1 and 2 that I've so stumblingly tried to preach today, but go to it. Order your life that way and watch what he'll do. He will honor his word. When it's done his way, he'll honor it. And your results are going to be immediate. You're going to immediately feel, hallelujah, I so feel a heavy anointing on this today. You're going to immediately feel God's power and the Holy Spirit going to work in your spirit to renew your mind. Hallelujah. It will work. It will work. I guarantee it. Hallelujah. Because I've tried it. And like King David said in Psalm 37, 25, I have been young and now I'm old, but yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. Hallelujah. God will help you because he loves you. It is his will. This book of Romans told us in verse 2, it is his will that we walk as his children in victory, going from grace to grace and from glory to glory as the Holy Spirit of God gives us the thoughts of God about us to our minds. Hallelujah. God's 10 times better than any psychologist. Why? He made that brain you got. He knows every cell that's in it. He knows how many cells are in it. He knows what they're doing. Turn to him today if that's you. Just between you and him. I'm not going to ask for no show of hands. As a conscious act of your will, if that's you, you're bound by anxiety and fear and you've been on all kind of drugs and you know they're not really helping you. Present yourself today unto the one who will heal you. Hallelujah. To the rest of us, let's ask God to do a life-changing work in us that for the rest of our lives, as long as we're on planet Earth, until we're called home to glory, that we wake up presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to him, which is our reasonable service. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, your word is so powerful and your ways are so far above the ways of man. That, Lord, no matter how potent and effective man's ways may initially seem, they're filled with flaws, just like the Great Wall of China. As powerful as it is, it took a bribe of some guards to break through it. That's man's systems. They'll fall. They'll fail us. But Lord Jesus, you will never fail us. You said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Lord Jesus, today, we present ourselves afresh and anew to you. We present our bodies, everything we are, we surrender unto you today. And present our bodies a living sacrifice. And we know this pleases you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to continually now renew our minds. Give us your mind as the Holy Spirit works on us. And Lord, may from this day forward, we do this every day of our lives. We present ourselves unto you. It's healthy for us to know we can do nothing outside of you. It's spiritually healthy for us to be reminded that Jesus, only you can change us. Only you can deliver us. Only you can heal our troubled spirits, Lord. And as we live out for you these last of the last days on planet Earth, Lord, I know we're going to find greater power in you than if we'll do it your way than we've ever known before. While the world around us will be crumbling, we'll be standing. And the world will take notice of that. They'll see that we're not fearful. They'll see that we're not overwhelmed by fear and anxiety like the rest of the world is. We will be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. merely by presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice daily. And Lord, the benefits we'll reap as individuals as the Holy Spirit renews our minds and gives us the thoughts of God and teaches us to think like God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that no one thinks, because there's not a lot of shouting going on right now, that there's not a lot of deep working of the Holy Spirit going on. We need this, Lord. We so need this, Lord. It's good to shout. I love those services. But Lord, sometimes we need to sit still and listen to the still small voice. And I believe He's spoken profoundly to us today from the Word of God. I pray that we're transformed, we're renewed forevermore from this day forward to present our bodies as a living sacrifice daily. And we will walk in victory and newness of life continually. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Give Him a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God forevermore. Man, I tell you, I believe God really spoke something to us today. I pray you've been blessed. I pray you've been uplifted. I pray that the Holy Spirit has transformed your thinking from here on out till you're called home to glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Mahari, would you come dismiss us in prayer today? As he's coming on Wednesday night, we're going to pick up again our study on the great white judgment throne. We haven't gone into it yet. We just finished on the judgment seat of Christ. Phil has emailed me a great question I'm going to incorporate into that teaching. It'll flow right along with it. And we'll kind of get back in the flow again. Just to let you know some of our holiday schedule tentatively, we won't be having Wednesday night service, the two Wednesdays between Christmas and New Year's, okay? And I don't believe we're going to be having service on the 25th. Now, some of you may think, oh, that's so unspiritual. Please, folks, don't get hung up on religion. There's no way Jesus was born on December 25th. It's good we set aside a day to celebrate his birthday. But if you read the Bible, and Israel, you got shepherds in the field and, you know, clear starry nights. That don't happen in December in Israel, okay? It's more likely he was born in March or April, really, if you. But we just want to have that time with our families, and that's spiritual. That's one of the most spiritual things you can do, is go and spend time with your family. So just to give you a heads up, that's tentatively may change. But I know last year we tried to have service and nobody showed up, really was going to show up, but me and my family. And now, you know, let's just be real. Can we be real for a little bit? There's nothing wrong. We're not under law. We're under grace, okay? And we're going to celebrate Jesus' birthday as a body on December 11th. So don't get hung up on December 25th having to be the day. That's just the day the world has picked, okay? It has no fact or basis in Scripture at all. Man, am I being a Scrooge? I hope I'm not ruining Christmas. I kind of feel like a spiritual Scrooge right now. Everybody's looking at me like, oh, gee, Pastor, that's hard. It's true, though. It's true. So that's just tentatively what it's looking like we're going to do. And God bless you. Be safe out there. Pray for me. I've got to help Mom move today. I'll be sore tomorrow. But God bless you. It's been a joy and a delight to be with you this morning. Brother Mahari.